Words on Water.
Welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. I'm the host, Travis Loop, and I'm in San Antonio, Texas. And I'm here with Robert Puente, the president and CEO of the San Antonio Water System. Thanks for taking some time to chat.
Well, thank you for the invitation to speak to your audience.
Absolutely. So I think we have a bunch of different topics to touch on when it comes to water in San Antonio. One of the things San Antonio is known for is its water conservation efforts. It has a strong history there and a legacy of water conservation. So I was hoping you could talk to me a little bit about that. How did it gain that reputation?
Well, it wasn't by choice. It was actually something that was forced on us because of an endangered species.
Okay.
If you look at our water history, 25 years ago, there was a lawsuit filed by the environmental community because of the endangered species that needed a certain amount of spring flow. We get our water from an aquifer. That aquifer provided spring flow for these endangered species. They won the lawsuit. Federal judge was putting down his federal hammer and forcing us to wean ourselves off of the aquifer, at least a permitting system. And so we were essentially, because of state legislation that addressed that concern, were given about 15 years where there was going to be another limitation on the amount of water we could withdraw from the aquifer. So the first thing you have to do is start conserving. And so that's how our conservation ethic started over 25 years ago. But now it's really ingrained into our community. So much so that our business model at San Antonio Water System is to convince our customers to buy less of our product. Now you take that to Wall Street and you'll see you have a huge problems. And so it's a very difficult business model. Essentially, what we tell our customers is, first of all, buy less of our product. When you really, really need it, we're not going to sell it to you because there are drought restrictions because of regulatory agencies, the state, the city, put certain restrictions there. So when you really demand it, we're not going to sell it to you. And when we have a whole lot of it, then they're not going to buy it from us. They don't want it because they get it free from the sky. So all of that is our business model, but it's anchored on water conservation.
Yeah.
But water conservation for the San Antonio Water System is really something that we bought into.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you why it's a good business model and why we are able to flourish even despite the less of buying of our product is because we are a city that's still growing. And during this growth period that we've had over the past 25 years, at different times, we would have had to have another water project to bring water in to meet that growth. So we were able to meet part of it by water conservation. Even though each individual is using less water, each industry is using less water, there are more people using that water, and so our revenues sort of stayed up. But essentially, it means that we don't have to pay billions of dollars for a new water project. It also means, on the wastewater side, that we have less water to treat. So we had four wastewater treatment plants, so much less water to treat that we actually closed one down.
Wow.
So we went from four to three, saved ourselves millions of dollars every year in O&M cost, and then a huge amount of dollars in capital cost of not having to upgrade that system, not having to build more wastewater treatment plants.
Mm.
So that business model actually works.
Most every other city you're hearing about building more wastewater treatment plants. That's pretty incredible. When you say water conservation, what does that actually mean?
Well, I'm very proud to be able to tell people when I get an opportunity to speak is that their lifestyle has not changed over these 25 years.
Mm.
You cannot really say that you've had to take less showers or you've had to do anything drastically different in your lifestyle. It's been a very gradual thing where we have, by different programs, changed out every single toilet in town. Not just homeowners, but hotels.
Wow.
Entire hotels. School districts, entire school districts. So cumulatively, all of these toilets are now using less water. So that's an example of how it is. Shower heads gave away thousands and thousands of shower heads to now where those programs, we don't have them anymore because there are no more toilets that use 5 gallons per flush.
Yeah.
They've all been retrofitted. And so it's been something that's been much ingrained in our culture here now, and people have accepted it,
mm-hmm.
knowing that it's not a drastic lifestyle change.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, one of the things San Antonio is famous for is the Riverwalk here, where you've got this city in the middle of Texas with this, you know, waterway through the middle of this downtown core. How does that work?
Well, it's one of the 5 top tourist attractions in the nation. It's a great economic generator for our city, but it is a river. But it's a river that's subject to drought, subject to use by others. And so in the commercial area of downtown San Antonio, you want a full river. We used to supplement that river with aquifer water. In other words, pumping from the Eders aquifer, we used to supplement that river flow. But that's the same aquifer that had this endangered species problem. So what we essentially have done is turned off those wells.
Mm-hmm.
Now we add wastewater to it, clean, fresh wastewater from a water treatment plant where we have an intricate supply of water. We have the largest recycled water system in the nation, a ring completely around Bexar County. And one of the spokes that comes out of that ring is to add water at different points to our river walk. So mm-hmm. that flow is a constant flow. And then we just capture it at the end anyway. So it's a continuous loop that we have to make sure that the merchants here in downtown San Antonio, the restaurants that are there, the tourism that goes on there, are able to see a nice flowing river during yeah. their stay here in San Antonio.
One of the issues in the water sector is trying to increase public awareness about the potential for water reuse and recycling water, and the fact that the technology is pretty amazing on how wastewater treatment plants can clean that water. And I imagine most of the people walking along that river walk don't realize really where that water's coming from and how well taken care of it is.
You know, those of us in the water industry know that we shouldn't call it wastewater anymore
yeah.
because it's very valuable. It's not a waste anymore. And we do treat it to a standard that you can actually drink it. It's not drinkable standard by the federal government or mm-hmm. state regulations, but it is very clean water. But it's used by Toyota, major manufacturers, Microsoft. All of the golf courses are irrigated with recycled water. Our sister agency, the Power Company here in San Antonio, uses over 50,000 acre feet of reuse water for their cooling plants.
Mm.
So it's a high value commodity, and we also purposely discharge over 50,000 acre feet and leave it in the river to make sure that there's environmental flows all the way to the Gulf Coast.
One thing I want to ask about is, well, this is a funny point, I guess, is ethic of water conservation. You guys have a 11 foot tall model of a low flow toilet, something also probably pretty unique. Where is that thing? What do you guys do with that?
We store it and bring it out for special occasions. And the history of that toilet is that we were building a huge 96-inch sewer line, enough to support a city of 250,000 people. And we were building the sewer line in a part of town that had not been experiencing a lot of growth. And we wanted to manage our growth as part of the city, making sure that not all sections of the city were experiencing the good growth. And so we built this sewer line, and we wanted to have some kind of not your traditional ribbon cutting, because after all, it's underground. You'll never see it again. Mm. You don't want to ever hear about it again.
Right.
It's a huge asset that you want to not think about.
Mm-hmm.
But for that moment, we did want to think about it. So we commissioned the making of an 11-foot tall toilet, and we took it out to the area where this sewer line was built and had a little ceremony there christening the opening of that sewer line.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was the first flush. We now bring it out for our fiesta, which is akin to New Orleans Mardi Gras.
Okay.
We have a big celebration. It's in a different parades that comes out in here in San Antonio. And, you know, some of our employees make sure that they sit around it and participate in that parade.
Yeah. Public awareness tool, public education tool
yes,
there.
Yes.
Could you also tell me a little more serious note, I guess, about your desalination plant, something else that's fairly unique?
Yes. It's a brackish groundwater. It's not water from the sea. It's located right here in Bexar County, not more than about 15 miles from downtown San Antonio. And that's one of the things, one of the many things we've done to help wean ourselves from the Edwards Aquifer. The Edwards Aquifer is very prolific, a lot of water there, a lot of clean, drinkable water, but there's a lot of demand on it by not just us, other smaller cities, industry, tourism, agriculture. And so we wanted to make sure that as we grew, that we didn't have a total reliance on this. So we just built our desal plant. It's been online for 1 year now.
Okay.
It's about 13,000 acre feet. Our ratepayers have made the sacrifice of building this plant and investing in this plant to where it's very easily expandable.
Mm.
So in other words, a lot of the cost that is spent today was for the future, to where it's already all under one roof. The expansion is already plumbed. All the plumbing is there already. We just have to add the trains and some of the collection pipe. It is state of the art. We wanted to make sure that we worked with our local university. So we have an embedded professor there that's been working there for over a year now. We have a laboratory there that different universities can use. Desal and wastewater, especially desal, is subject to a lot of innovation, a lot of ways to make sure that the way you clean that water to drinkable standards, you're using the best technology. And then the brine, the waste that's produced, is also at some time, almost anything that's waste, and I'll put that in quotation marks, can be turned into an asset. So we're looking at that to making sure that we can do what we can with some of the waste and the cost involved in that waste. So it is a beautiful plant. It is the only plant in the United States that has three different water sources. So it's not just brackish water, but it's also, and brackish water is an aquifer that's much deeper than a freshwater aquifer, which is a different than the Edwards, the Carrizo aquifer. So that's where we have that second water source. And the third water source is our stored water, our underground storage, the aquifer storage and recovery.
It's great that you have a professor and kind of have that connection with the academic community there, and it's a great opportunity for them. You know, you mentioned about how San Antonio has grown, population growth, development. Is there anything more you can say about how you've dealt with those pressures?
Well, there's a lot of pressure to keep up with the growth.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you want to play that balance between your current customers not having to pay for the new growth, for the new development. And so one of the good things about San Antonio is our water utility is separate from the city. We have our own board. We are responsible for everything except if we want to raise the rates, we do have to go to our city council. But the mayor is always a board member of our utility. So essentially, the mayor always gets a firsthand look as to how the water utility is running.
Mm.
So currently, he sees the needs there. He sees what we're trying to do. And so there's a lot of interaction there between the city and the water board. So that's always something good that has happened, that we are able to know what the city wants to do as far as growth. And so if their growth philosophy is whatever it is, then obviously we abide by that because we're part of the city. And so far it's been something that's been a pretty good balance between making sure we have a sustainable growth, making sure we have the right type of growth. But the development community, they're also our customer. We also have to provide for them. They want to build. They want to build homes. They want to make sure industry comes in. And so we have to be responsive to them also. And so all these issues come together, and we try to balance them and make sure that we have, for example, impact fees. Impact fees are supposed to be paid by the developers, and they do. And they build the systems and then to our standard at their cost. And then we take them over. They deed them over to us. And so it's been, so far, a pretty good relationship between the environmental community, development community, and our ratepayers.
Mm. Another pressure on your water resources is maybe the climate here in South Texas. Have you seen changes and that have impacted your water sources?
Yes. But, you know, it's hard to really answer that because, as you know, even in our entire lifetime, it's only a speck of what really lifetime is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've seen lately is not necessarily less rainfall, but more concentrated rainfall.
Mm.
In other words, not long-term drought, but more intensified drought.
Mm.
Just recently in 2011, we had the hottest, driest 12-month period in our recorded history. But that drought only lasted for about 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
The drought of record, which was the 1950s, was like almost a 10-year drought. There's a saying here that we get in San Antonio, we get about 32 inches of rain per year, and you ought to be here on the weekend that we get it. And so it's ideally you would have, you know, your rainfall predictable right when you need it. But what we've seen is that they're concentrated kind of rainfall events. And so we have to adjust to that. And, you know, there's no way of knowing if that's a long term. And what does long term mean? Does long term mean 10 years? Does it mean 50 years? Mm-hmm. And so we have to build in ourselves the resiliency, the sustainability to know that, to build our system adaptable enough, dynamic enough to where we can make sure we meet the needs of our customers.
The bulk of our conversation here has focused on water availability and water resources and managing those. I wanted to kind of get your take on the dynamics of how cities and counties and regions, we'll use the word battle, over water resources, and just what it's like to be in a place where you kind of have to deal with that. And
you know, I've been talking about the Edwards, and prior to some state legislation, essentially, if you owned property, you owned the water under your feet. Mm-hmm. And so you just dug a hole, put a straw in there, put a pump in there, and you could irrigate your farm. You could build a city. You could build an industry, whatever you needed. And so once there's regulation in there, there were a lot of fights associated with that. We do it wrong here in the state of Texas when it comes to water management. We're very parochial. We're very regionalized. Mm-hmm. There's very few regional projects. My background is, I was a state legislator for 17 years, and I headed the statewide water committee. Mm-hmm. So I knew the battles of Dallas. I knew the battles of Houston and West Texas, East Texas. And that is one of our failures, is that we do not regionalize our water supply. There's not even in West Texas, which is more desert-like, there's really not a shortage of water. There's a shortage of political will to move that water. We have over 100 groundwater districts in Texas regulating groundwater. Surface water is regulated by the state, but groundwater is privately owned. And so a groundwater district regulate that. And the regulation usually is, don't come into our county, leave us alone, the water's for us,
yeah,
even though it's privately owned. And so a big utility like San Antonio, we have gone outside of our county to get water, but it's very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of outreach you have to do. There's a lot of expense you have to do even before that first drop of water comes in.
Interesting.
We have a project that brought in water from 80 miles away, and we literally spent over $30 million before a single drop of water came to San Antonio, before probably about $15 before a dirt was even turned to build that pipeline. So those are some of the things that hinder a true cooperation of moving water around where it's needed, making sure you respect private property rights, making sure you respect the smaller cities that are growing, but nowhere near at the clip of a big city, but mm-hmm. still they have growth and they mm-hmm. have needs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter, I think, of really recognizing those needs, respecting them, but still moving the ball forward.
And there hasn't really been a change or movement toward a change in that respect, toward a more collaborative, regional, statewide kind of approach.
No, since 1991, when I was elected to the legislature, I've been involved in water. And the only time the state of Texas has done anything meaningful regarding water is when there's been a drought and a budget surplus. And we have some serious droughts, and only when we had some serious droughts did serious legislation get passed that addressed those needs.
Mm.
So unfortunately, we're still a legislature that's reactionary. We will never be accused of being visionary. I know I'm being critical of a body that I served in myself, and I will take the necessary blame. But it is very difficult because, you know, cities want to control their own destiny. They don't necessarily want to rely on neighboring city that may have a little bit of a different philosophy.
Sure.
But you do need some pressure from the top to move some of these projects, because you can solve a whole lot more with regional cooperation.
Last thing I just wanted to talk to you about was you know, as you have to invest in your system, you mentioned this a little bit already about the desal plant, as you have to build and improve infrastructure, you know, there is that role for customers in helping to bear the cost. How do you approach that? How do you approach having to deal with rates?
Well, depending on the audience, I take a lot of criticism because 8 out of the 10 years I have been at SAWS, we have raised rates. Mm-hmm. But at a conference like this, a water utility conference, I take a lot of credit for being able to raise the rates to pay for all the needs that this kind of audience, the audience of utility engineers, of administrators, they know that those needs need to be met. And so, yes, we in San Antonio have raised rates over the last 10 years. Our rates have doubled, mm-hmm. although they still are some of the lowest. They are the lowest in Texas of any major city, with the exception of Dallas, some of the lowest in the United States. So we had a lot of room to grow. But our public has been supportive. But there are those that we don't want to leave behind.
Sure.
So we're very proud that we have doubled our affordability program as far as families that we're helping out to where we have a, depending on your poverty level, your bill is reduced accordingly month after month after month. We have another program that for the one time in your life, usually one time in your life, you have a need, a divorce, loss of a job, medical bills out of the ordinary, and you're having those kinds of problems, that we have a different program that helps you get over that one-time bump. City Council has asked us to increase that, mm-hmm. not only monetarily, but more than once. And so now maybe 2 or 3 times in the same calendar year mm-hmm. will you qualify, because there's that need there. And so we understand rates are going up, but we do have very active and well-funded affordability program.
And that's interesting to hear about the public support, you know, of course, not across the board, but generally the public understands the investments that are being made and something that's pretty important for them. So great. Well, I appreciate the time and perspective. There were definitely some unique topics we touched on here. I look forward to sharing with this folks. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Words on Water.